This is an iHeart podcast.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Biden administration insanely appealed the Supreme Court stay, the order delaying the lifting of Title 42. And if you haven't heard, the Supreme Court has ignored the Biden administration. They're not going to lift Title 42 at 11:59 when the Biden administration asked them. And instead, they're going to hear oral arguments in the next few weeks from both the Biden administration and the 19 Republican governors who sued to stop, who sued to keep Title 42 in place. Title 42 is a legislative tool that allows the United States to turn away most people who come to the country seeking asylum because of a health emergency, the pandemic. The Biden administration argues that we're not in a health emergency anymore because the pandemic is over. But we do have a health emergency, and it's directly related to the border. The fentanyl crisis, another crisis that the Biden administration has caused and is now ignoring. Illegal fentanyl, the synthetic opioid, is the number one killer of young adults in this country. A record 109,000 overdose deaths in 2021-22. A dubious record that we are on pace to break again. The DEA reports that 70 to 80% of those deaths were caused by fentanyl. And what are we doing about all these crises? Let's see. Well, over 300 people a day are dying from fentanyl overdoses. The president passed a climate change bill, forgave student loans before the election. And even though that was thrown out of court, the student loan thing, he really hasn't done much since then, right? The fentanyl crisis is just another crisis to ignore, like the border crisis and the crime crisis. There have long been calls for the Biden administration to declare a national health emergency to fight the fentanyl crisis. Think about how smart that would be. With that declaration, he could extend Title 42 because the fentanyl is coming across the Mexican border, and he could declare that we are cutting off asylum immigration until we get a handle on this problem. Wouldn't that make sense? That's the very reason he won't do it. Because then he would have to take the blame for all the fentanyl deaths over the past 2 years. Both years, by the way, set records for fentanyl deaths, both fiscal years. And this president takes blame for nothing. Everything is Trump's fault, even though these crises we're talking about all happened under his watch and as a result of his policies. He's not fooling anyone. Everyone knows the source of the problem. It's the fact we're not securing the southern border. And fentanyl, a synthetic opioid that is 10 times more deadly than a natural opioid, is pouring across. Enough fentanyl has already come into this country to kill every American 8 times over. You've heard the chilling statistic that it's as if We had an airliner crash every single day. The DEA has been all over this. That's right. The DEA, under the Biden administration, has been all over this, begging for help. DEA Administrator Ann Milgram told CBS News' Savannah Guthrie exactly where the scourge on America is coming from.
China's to blame. Chinese chemical companies are the largest producer right now of the precursor chemicals that are being used to make fentanyl. There's a relationship between these Chinese chemical companies and the criminal cartels in Mexico. I think it's important to talk about the border, and I can say with 100% assurance that the criminal drug cartels in Mexico will stop at nothing to get fentanyl into the United States.
Listen to your DEA administrator. If we secure the border, we can minimize the fentanyl coming into the United States, and then we work with the Mexican government to go after the cartels and destroy the fentanyl factories. That's what the president should be talking with the president of Mexico in his upcoming visit, but I guarantee you he won't. This president won't because he's done nothing, not one thing about the crisis. He wouldn't even mention it until early November while campaigning for Pennsylvania Attorney General Josh Shapiro, who is now governor-elect in Pennsylvania. He never once mentioned the border when he talks about fentanyl. You simply cannot control the fentanyl crisis without securing the border and going after the cartels. Everything else is useless talk. But the administration insists the border is under control. He doesn't even admit we have a crisis at the border. If you just ignore it, it'll go away, right? The administration is helping the cartels, not the people who are crying for help, by ignoring the problem. One person who did admit the border is open and fentanyl is pouring across is Border Patrol Chief Raul Ortiz, who had to admit it because he was under oath. The state of Florida sued the administration for not securing the border. In his deposition, Chief Ortiz said the border is not secure. He said the border is open, and he said fentanyl is coming across. Listen to your border chief. He's at the border that you ignore, Mr. President. This is way too important. This president, who promised he would be straight with the American people, has been ignoring this problem since he was sworn into office and signed executive orders overturning Trump policies and causing this crisis in the first place. The DEA and the Border Patrol, you just heard, know about the problem. So the White House must know about it. And they choose to ignore it. Shame on them. There's way too many people dying. Too many kids dying. And the problem has been ignored for almost 2 years. We need something big. The Attorney General in Florida, Ashley Moody, sent a letter to the White House urging President Biden to label illegal fentanyl as a weapon of mass destruction.
And it's time we really take drastic action. This isn't what we've seen in the past. This is something new. It's alarming. It's increasing exponentially. And it's time this administration takes it seriously and treats this as a chemical weapon that it is.
That was ignored. The Biden administration keeps saying their border policy is humane. That Trump was inhumane. Really, it's humane for who? A record number of immigrants have died either at the border or making their way to the border. Human trafficking is sky high, and now fentanyl is coming across the border and killing a record number of American youth. I guess I have to look up the definition, but I think that's the opposite of humane. This thing is so dangerous. In San Diego, a deputy chief was processing fentanyl after a seizure, and he almost died. He had to be given Narcan. Same thing happened to an officer in Florida last week. If you ingest or inhale this stuff, it can be deadly, as many grieving parents have found out. The pushers aren't on the street corners anymore. They're online. People looking for Adderall or something else end up with fentanyl and don't even know it. There must be a reckoning for willful incompetence. Biden and the Democratic Party have failed to secure our border, which should be their number one job. Instead, they've spent $5 trillion on student loans, climate change, billions in political gifts to Democratic donors, unions, pet causes. This has all been a deadly embarrassment. But you can make it stop. By talking about this, by pressuring your representatives. Right now, that's the only way things are going to change. And this has to change. The country can't afford to keep accepting this deadly mistake. We're coming right back. Larry Mantey in for Jesse Kelly.
It's another tequila sunrise.
Producer Chris was in my ear saying this is Nancy Pelosi's song. I had no idea. No idea that she was a big Eagles fan. I like that song. I like the Eagles. This is Larry Mantey filling in for, I guess I don't anymore. Larry Mantey in for Jesse Kelly. Very proud to be here. Big shoes to fill, buddy. And he deserves some time off. Hardworking man. Trump's tax returns will be released. Incredible. The Democrats in their loathing, and they do, it's loathing of former President Donald Trump and their absolute lust to embarrass him, incarcerate him, make certain he can never run for president again, are now going to release his tax returns dating back to 2015. The Ways and Means Committee is doing this. I know New Jersey Congressman, North Jersey Congressman, Bill Pascrell. He's been in Congress for a long, long time. He's been a pit bull over this, lustful, I mean, angry over this, getting these tax returns. He is captain of the I Hate Trump Club, and he's been trying to release these returns for years. 5 years ago, I first talked to him about this. Pascrell has been waiting for this day. And he and the rest of the Ways and Means Committee is releasing the tax returns any day now. The New York Times already got a hold of them. Had they waited another month or so, they would not have been able to release them because the Republicans would have taken control of the House. Look, I get it. You know, Trump isn't completely innocent here. He's been a little wily, shall we say, with his returns. First, he promised to release them after an IRS audit, and then he got into office and said, no, I'm not releasing them.
I will absolutely give my return, but I'm being audited now for 2 or 3 years, so I can't do it until the audit is finished, obviously.
It's under audit. I'll release them when the audit's completed.
My tax returns are very simple. They're under a minor audit. Routine audit, as they have been for many years. Every year I get audited.
At the appropriate time, I will release them. But right now I'm under routine audit. Nobody cares.
You know, the only one that cares about my tax returns are the reporters.
Okay. You don't think the American public is concerned?
No, I don't think so. I won. I mean, I became president. No, I don't think they care at all.
I won. I became president. I don't have to now. It was a little shady. But except for some rabid Democrats like Pascrell, nobody did really seem to care. Did you ever think that was a big thing? Like, I have to see these Trump tax returns. Now, the Democrats are being a little shady themselves because now they claim they were never doing this to try to embarrass Donald Trump. Oh, no, 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 no. They say they were just investigating the mandatory audit that the IRS is supposed to run on all presidents once they take office. They wanted to make certain that happened. At least that's what Ways and Means Committee member Democrat Jimmy Gomez claimed when he was asked if the committee was out there just trying to get Trump.
I want to be very clear that the committee was looking at Donald Trump's taxes or asked to look at them, but in the context of reviewing the mandatory audit program of all of that reviews all taxes of every single president and vice president since 1977. But since then, every single presidential candidate and vice president released their taxes on their own, except Donald Trump. So we wanted to know how the program was working and was it really doing the audits it was supposed to. And one of the things that showed, it was not. The mandatory audit program did not complete one audit of President Donald Trump's tax returns. Not one single audit was complete.
Did he just sound like he was making that up? The way he rambled along, didn't that just sound like he was lying? And he knew he was lying, and he's not a good liar, like most of the guys in Washington. You almost like him for that. Okay, first of all, there's no requirement for a candidate for president to release his tax returns. Yes, most do. There's no requirement to do so. So he broke no laws. And if they weren't trying to embarrass Trump, if it was just about this mandatory tax audit to make certain it was happening, why did every Democrat on the committee vote to release the taxes, right? That makes no sense. If it was just about that, there's no reason to release the taxes. If the audit was of an IRS process, yeah, the Trump taxes are evidence, but they don't have to be released. You're doing that to embarrass the man. As I said, the New York Times got a hold of the tax returns and didn't find any wrongdoing, at least not yet. But they found out that Trump's businesses were losing money and were under a lot of pressure. Yeah. He took sides in a divided country. He was going to lose a lot of money on doing that. It is going to be difficult to prove any wrongdoing without the full power of the IRS to demand proof, receipts, billings, etc. Look, I get that this isn't unprecedented. In 1974, a bipartisan tax committee released Richard Nixon's tax returns, 1 year. But this is the first time a committee has released the tax forms of a former president, now a U.S. citizen, and so many years of his tax returns.
Regrettably, the deed is done. Over our objections in opposition, Democrats in the Ways and Means Committee have unleashed a dangerous new political weapon that overturns decades of privacy protections for average taxpayers. The era of political targeting and of Congress's enemies list is back. And every American taxpayer who may get on the wrong side of the majority in Congress is now at risk.
Yeah, do you realize what the Democrats unleashed here? That's, by the way, ranking Republican member of the Ways and Means Committee, Jim Banks from Indiana. The Democrats in the Ways and Means Committee abused their power and have established a precedent of using that power to access tax returns as a powerful weapon, not just against an opponent, but against any U.S. citizen. Think about that until we come right back.
Hey there, I'm Mary Catherine Hamm.
And I'm Carol Markowitz. We've been in political media for a long time.
Long enough to know that it's gotten, well, a little insane.
That's why we started Normally, a podcast for people who are over the hysteria and just want clarity.
We talk about the issues that actually matter to the country without panic, without yelling, and with a healthy dose of humor.
We don't take ourselves too seriously, but we do take the truth seriously.
So if you're into common sense, sanity, and some occasional sass,
you're our kind of people.
Catch new episodes of Normally every Tuesday and Thursday
on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.
Would you guys consider anything less than a championship to be a failure from this year?
I wouldn't say anything is a failure, especially because we all grow every day. Obviously, the goal is a championship. There's no doubt in that, and that's the goal. We want to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast, In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
For all the biggest stories in women's basketball, plus exclusive interviews with the game's brightest stars.
So to be here, I think it's one that we definitely don't take for granted. But we also know, you know, that's just one stop along the way. And we're hoping to, you know, make a run.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Larry Menti still here, still in for Jesse Kelly. Proud to be here. I guess I shouldn't be surprised, but I always am. When the Twitter files were dumped by Elon Musk, when it was happening, the very first set of files that were dumped, I was sitting up, I was waiting for it. Remember, it was late at first, and I was waiting for it. And as it was coming out, I was actually calling people and saying, "You're not going to believe this. Oh my God." And I was, when I was looking at it, I thought this was stunning. What a huge story this is. And the next day, nothing. Like, nobody took it as a big story. A lot of people were saying, we knew that. No, nobody knew that. No one knew that. No one knew how deep the administration and the intelligence community was in Twitter and social media. And if they were in Twitter, I'm sure they were in Google. I'm sure they were in Facebook, just like they're in the New York Times, just like they control so much media in this country. But it's a disinformation campaign, the same one that they keep accusing the Russians of, only we're doing it in our country. Huge story. And it's mind-blowing that it doesn't get more coverage. To me, that's mind-blowing. It's so telling about the problems we have in this country over media coverage and how much the media is bought and sold by the Democratic Party. So the biggest dump, the most, it was some of the early stuff, right? That not only showed that the FBI infiltrated the FBI with dozens of former agents, but they had a special unit within the FBI of 80 agents whose job it was to oversee and influence social media. That's not a big story. That's what they do in the Soviet Union. The government wants to make sure they control the message getting across. Not just influence it, control it. So they put FBI in the agency and they set up a special unit to feed those FBI moles information. And they get some of the top positions. And to top it all off, we found out that the FBI paid Twitter $3 million for helping them out. Here's a little something for your trouble. That's a payoff. It's a bribe. And of course, all of these agents went rogue. They did the bidding of the Democratic Party to keep Donald Trump from winning re-election and stop everyone they could from sharing or posting the New York Post exclusive story of horrible criminal behavior from Hunter Biden's laptop. This is so vitally important. And I'm saying this again, even though it was out weeks ago, because more stuff keeps coming out. And I guess I'm just stunned as more weeks go by that the mainstream media is ignoring it. We can't let that happen. Now that Twitter and the FBI has been exposed with a half a dozen dumps of evidence proving their unholy allegiance in helping Joe Biden become president, the big question was, is Elon Musk going to stay on as CEO of Twitter and keep it free and keep exposing it? Absolutely not. He's going to leave. He doesn't need this headache. He made that decision before he put up that Twitter poll asking, should I step down as head of Twitter? He said, I will abide by the results of this poll. 17.5 million people voted and 57.5% city should go. But you know what I heard? An interesting theory recently that he put up that poll to entice all the bots to vote against him so he could find out where the bots are. It'll be fascinating if that's true. By the way, as soon as those poll results came out, Tesla stock jumped a few dollars. It's fallen again. I guarantee you this is the result that Musk wanted. The poll was his way out. The Tesla stock had dropped 58% since he announced he was buying a stake in Twitter. The entire stock market's down, but not that much. Since the results of that Twitter poll, he tweeted a cryptic message: be careful what you want, you may just get it. He got what he wanted. He's confirmed he's already looking for a new CEO. He'll still be involved. How would you like to have the owner on the board? To have the owner looking over your shoulder? Elon Musk is no fool. My guess, he had already decided he was going to hire a new CEO before he put up the poll. And his new CEO will be less public, less of a lightning rod. But I'm sure it's going to be a requirement that that person will keep true to Musk's philosophy of free speech and no government interference. In other words, Musk did what he needed to do, and now he's going to get out. Who was that masked man? Let's get back to the release of another batch of emails showing how much the FBI and other government agencies had infiltrated social media, and there's no reason to believe they didn't do this to others. Dozens of former FBI agents were working at Twitter and were working in high-ranking positions over what tweets stay, what accounts get banned, what gets suspended. And Federal Election Commission reports show that those that were at Twitter from the FBI all made campaign contributions to Democratic candidates. And that group of FBI agents inside Twitter worked closely with an FBI task force, as I told you, whose job it is was to monitor social media and keep contact with them about what should be taken down.
You know, this revelation, though, really goes deeper than just the FBI. And it was deep at the FBI with the big task force you point out. It was also DHS. Several states were lobbying in, censorship requests. And so this is, I think, a real concerning infringement on our First Amendment rights. And, you know, whether it's done by a private company at the behest of the government or not, it's still a serious free speech issue.
Yes, that's former acting U.S. Attorney General Matthew Whitaker. Yes, this isn't about a private company. It's about the FBI, a powerful government agency influencing elections for one party. Don't fall for that media mantra that Twitter is a private company and can do what they want. No, a group of both current and former FBI agents were working as an arm of the Democratic Party to influence elections. It was a disinformation operation, the kind they run in other countries to overthrow governments. Only it was being done right here in America.
The FBI managed to best turn Twitter into an arm of the FBI and part of the intelligence community. And you see it both from without and from within.
That's John Levine from the New York Post, who is part of breaking the Hunter Biden laptop story that Twitter banned after getting several heads up by the FBI that, you know, it looks like Russian disinformation. And then, of course, several former agents sent a letter to the New York Times also saying the Post story had all the markings of Russian disinformation. Next year is when the Republicans take over the House. Next year is only a week away. And we'll hold hearings about the FBI's influence over the 2020 elections. Doesn't it Now think about it for a second. Doesn't it start to feel like we're living in a police state? When law enforcement imposes its will on elections and investigates political opponents, that qualifies as a police state. We're coming right back. Starting gun. The midterm elections are the unofficial starting gun of the 2024 presidential election. And the results of this past election, the midterms, where Republicans vastly underperformed, has had a profound effect on the race to come. First, President Joe Biden is definitely running for re-election now. There is no question about it anymore. Just a few months ago, there were big questions, and there were a lot of Democrats that didn't want to run. This has unified the party, the fact they did so well in the midterm. So expect him to announce soon. He gave that big speech to gloat before he left. Now he's in Delaware for the holidays.
The president's going to speak to the American people before the end of the week, before the Christmas holiday, and really just outline what he sees as his accomplishments over his first 2 years in office, to hit the notes of unity and bipartisanship, to try to set the table for some of the benefits that are in some of the legislation that he signed that are going to is going to take effect in the new year. And so it was described to me as not necessarily a victory lap, but more of a celebration in the holiday spirit. But look, this is far different from where they were a year ago in this White House, where Democrats were infighting. The president's agenda seemed dead. And now the FDR comparisons, when you talk to White House officials, they are back. And this all comes ahead of a potential 2024 announcement in the early new year.
In the early new year. That's exactly right. That was Carol Lee right before the speech, NBC White House correspondent. The president talked about unity and bipartisanship. I think he gave up the right to talk about that after he gave that Darth Biden speech in Philadelphia in front of a blood red soaked Independence Hall, where he labeled half the country, all of the people who disagree with him, as a threat to democracy. Are you getting sick of this threat to democracy stuff? How fragile do they think democracy is? It survived a burning of the White House in the early 1800s, a civil war, two world wars, a civil rights movement, much greater threats. And democracy has always been fine. Nobody in those times said, well, this is a threat to democracy. It's a campaign slogan. Our founders built democracy, American democracy is nice and strong. Stop making it sound so fragile. So expect President Biden to announce his run for re-election in the next month or so. As Chuck Todd said, the host of Meet the Press, who had to one-up the White House correspondent Carol Lee in his I know more than you do moment.
And for what it's worth, it's my understanding this holiday season, when they make the decision, if it's a go or whatever it is, we're going to know early. They're not going to delay telling the American people.
Yeah, the White House correspondent just said that. But you had to say it, so it sounded like it came out of your mouth. Every time Chuck Todd speaks, I miss Tim Russert more and more. The midterms saved Joe Biden. And will continue to help him because now he's going to have an enemy to blame. The dysfunctional Republicans in the House, who may or may not be led by Kevin McCarthy, I think he'll win in the end, gives him an arch villain. The infighting between House Republicans has made them look more and more like the gang that couldn't shoot straight. And now President Biden has something and someone to attack more than Donald Trump and these MAGA Republicans. And Trump is wounded. There's no question about that. But he still does well in the polls. Every time you think he's out, he's not. The Democrats spent 4 years trying to embarrass him and incarcerate him. They went after his company. They raided Mar-a-Lago. They held a congressional tribunal that recommended federal charges. Now they're going to release his tax returns. But he's still running.
Ladies and gentlemen, distinguished guests, and
my fellow citizens, America's comeback starts right now.
People said that speech was boring. I disagree. They said it was subdued. That's good. It showed he had some self-discipline. The best thing about that speech was when he said he was going to push to make it illegal for retiring senators and House members to become lobbyists. I've been doing columns and commentaries about that for a decade. That is one of the most corrupt things, aside from insider trading, one of the most corrupt things that Congress does. They talk to lobbyists about an issue, right? They come in and they talk to lobbyists about it. The lobbyists come in and they say, hey, we're trying to get this bill passed. They help them pass it, and they do it knowing they can get a job with those companies as a lobbyist. They're not supposed to talk about it, but I'm sure they do. And then those jobs pay exponentially more money than it is to be a congressman. It's their retirement fund, $1 million, $2 million a year. That's the thank you. So for Trump to come out against that, he keeps defining himself as an outsider, taking on the swamp. And let me tell you something. A recommendation like that, that's kryptonite in Washington. But look, Trump's not going to have an easy time. I know everybody likes to jump on the fact that Ron DeSantis has some success in some of the polls and is ahead of Donald Trump. But most of the polls, and I look at this stuff all the time, Donald Trump is still ahead. So they shouldn't get too excited. But there's no question the midterms hurt Donald Trump, because 60% of the candidates he endorsed lost. He's being blamed again for the loss in Georgia. And Rick DeSantis had the night to himself. He had coattails. He won by 20 points. He helped Marco Rubio win by 20 points. He helped win 4 congressional seats. And he looked presidential. So the race is officially on, and others are going to jump in. But it's between those two. And I'm back in a couple of nights. We can talk about that again. I'm so proud to be in here tonight. It was a blast getting a chance to talk to you and filling in for Jesse Kelly. I listen to Jesse Kelly a lot, and what an honor it is to fill his shoes. Thanks for listening. This is Larry Menti in for Jesse Kelly.
You want smart political talk without the meltdowns? We got you.
And I'm Carol Markowitz.
And I'm Mary Catherine Hamm. We've been around the block in media, and we're doing things differently.
Normally is about real conversations. Thoughtful, try to be funny, grounded, and no panic.
We'll keep you informed and entertained without ruining your day.
Join us every Tuesday and Thursday.
Normally on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Whatever team Fee is on has a chance to win a championship.
I'm Christina Williams, host of the podcast In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams. The WNBA playoffs are here, and I've got the inside scoop on everything from key matchups and standout players to the behind-the-scenes moments you won't find anywhere else.
It's really, really hard to be the champions, but we have to remember how it feels and embrace the new challenge that we have.
So listen to In Case You Missed It with Christina Williams, an iHeart Women's Sports production in partnership with Deep Blue Sports and Entertainment on iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is an iHeart podcast.